Bet you can't guess where I'm going. Somebody's going to walk in here. Does he know any other scripture but Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10, verse 38, is Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, I'm going to give you a tip here that Martha is one of these difficult people. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Everybody say a good amen. Amen. Now, just real quickly in your mind review that you have two ladies here with very different situations in terms of temperament and disposition. Mary is calm and loving and peaceful and gracious and hungry for the things of God. And you have Martha who is angry and controlling and judgmental and anxious and worried and upset. And you say, why is that the case? Well, one is practicing the one thing and the other one is neglecting it. And you'd be amazed how fast you can go from peaceful to uptight by skipping the one thing in your life. How quickly you can go from having a great walk with God and enjoying your walk with God and the things of God and getting along with people to having no clue what to do because you've neglected the one thing that would give you the power and the influence, you know, the spiritual juice, so to speak, to actually deal with things day to day. Does that make sense? So look at somebody and say, be a Mary. Don't be a Martha. But do you know that everybody in here is capable of being a Martha? All you got to do is just step out of the one thing. You'd be amazed how fast you can get right back into that. I want you to go to 2 Timothy for a moment. Because Paul is speaking to his spiritual son and he's prophesying some things and some conditions that are about to hit the earth in the last days. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says in verse 1, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Now look up at me and say this to me. In the last days, there will be terrible times. And what's the exact next word? If you have the NIV, it says people. Now watch this. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People. Let's try this one more time. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And according to Paul's prophetic utterance, who's going to be behind that?
People.
People. And guess who's behind your terrible times?
People.
Notice he didn't say tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. He didn't say global warming. He said what?
People.
The terrible times are due to people. Notice what he says. They'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. That's where it begins. Hallelujah. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And then he goes on to say, despite all this, after describing the condition that people will create, he says in verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you have learned it. In other words, what's going to happen in the last days? People.
Right.
You're going to deal with difficult people. Not difficult weather conditions, not difficult climate situations, but people. The devil would love for you to think that it's out there somewhere, but it's not. It's where? It's right here. It's among us. It's in our hearts, in our lives, and those that we associate with, those that we work with, those that we hang around with. It's people. But in the midst of that, Paul is saying to his son Timothy, but you continue. In other words, just because terrible times are coming and people are going to be at the root of that, you keep doing what you've been taught to do. You keep seeking me. You keep preaching the word. You keep doing the one thing. Can I help you out here? No matter how people act, they can't get to you if you'll keep doing the one thing. It doesn't make any difference what they say, what they do. If you will keep practicing the one thing, you will come out victorious. You will be peaceful. You will be loving and kind. And no matter what they throw at you, you will continue to be Christ-like. But you can't do it if this stuff pushes you out of the one thing. And the devil would love to get you out of God's presence because now he will use people to destroy you. Look at somebody and say, it's people. It's not the cows. I know that farting cows are a big deal right now to AOC and all the socialist ilk out there in this nation. But the problem isn't the farting cow. Are you here today?
Yes.
It's not the dogs. It's not the horses. It's not the sheep. It's not the fish. It's not the birds. It's the what?
People.
It's the people. That part of God's creation that is the responsible party for these end time issues, people. And if you stay in the one thing, you're going to navigate this thing well. Now raise your hand if you have noticed that it is easy to get into situations with people and come out of the one thing. I mean, you don't even realize what's going on. It's just happening subtly, but it's pulling you out of his presence, and that thing that would make you a victor is actually responsible, amen, for your defeat. Say it with me, no matter what people do. Say it boldly, no matter what people do. I'll stay victorious if I keep doing the one thing. Now, if you don't do the one thing, you will be defeated. And there is no remedy for that. Regardless of the type of difficult person that you deal with, the one thing will give you the spiritual foundation that will affect your mind, your will, and your emotions in the middle of that situation, and you'll be preserved and stable. Notice that Mary sought Jesus, and Jesus dealt with the difficult people for her. She sought Jesus. Jesus dealt with Martha. When Judas criticized her in another part of the Bible, when she took the perfume and anointed his feet and washed his feet with her hair, Judas didn't like that. Guess what happened? Mary sought Jesus. Jesus dealt with Judas. You catch this today. If you'll seek Jesus, he'll deal with the people. Without the one thing, we are incapable of dealing with people correctly. We will react inappropriately, causing even more damage and even more difficulty. The words of Kerry Puckett, Mayfield pastor there, a half a century, ring in my heart. Every time I deal with a situation with people, it's not what happens that causes all the damage. It's how we react to it. You see that? And our first reaction's got to be, we've got to be in his presence to get our flesh controlled and tempered in our emotions. Hallelujah. Are you still here?
Yes.
Now watch this. I want to encourage you that God has a lot of remedy out there, but there's a lot of stupid out there.
Amen.
Amen. Just in the natural. Everybody say just the natural. I mean, forget about all the activity in the demonic realm and the spirit realm. Just in the natural, you're going to have to deal with a lot of difficult people. But what Paul's trying to say is we're not just dealing with natural things. We're dealing with supernaturally inspired people to be stupid. I mean, my sister said it very plainly and powerfully, and I hope she finishes that book. She says, God is good, but people are crazy. Hallelujah. And the enemy is not just operating on natural things. It's supernatural. How the enemy is using people these days. And that means at the core of your response, it's got to be supernatural. It's got to be based in your walk with God. Say it with me, I can overcome everything the enemy does through people if I'll stay in the one thing. Now, well, that's easy for you to say. You're a preacher. No, I just have more practice. Are you here?
Amen.
The same thing that works for me will work for you.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Your preachers neglect the one thing. They don't have a prayer. There's no special dispensation, you know, a little aura over my head. Well, you're exempt from this principle. No, we have more opportunity to actually, you know, practice the principle. So in honor of 2019, I'm going to give you 19 types of difficult people you might have to deal with. And if I gravitate your way like a little homing beacon, beep, 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 just own it. Amen. First of all is the steamroller. This is the person who is pushy and controlling and has to dominate everybody. We don't know anybody like that, do we?
No.
You might live with them. Might share a bed with them. Might be married to them, yes. Might work with them. Hallelujah. Might go to church with them. Yes. Number two is a sniper. Sniper sits back and takes pot shots at people. And they're very empowered to do this now because of a thing called Facebook. Facebook. Can I tell you something? An anonymous social media post is not anonymous to God. And a Christian should not be this passive-aggressive sniper. But they're out there. And it's not something that's hidden to God. He certainly is well aware of this. But you have to deal with that stuff. You know what snipers love? They love it if you shoot back. And you drive them nuts if you won't. Number three is the complainer. Nothing's ever right. Nothing's ever perfect. Nothing's ever good. Everything is horrible. They're pessimistic, and that's the filter that they have. How many understand that you live in America, you have at least one thing to thank God for? Well, what's the big deal? Somebody that would act like that has never been out of the country. You never have seen how blessed this nation is unless you've seen how other nations live. How other people have so very little compared to what we have. I mean, everyone in this room right now is rich compared to most of the population in the world, and we don't even tell ourselves that. Everything's got to be wrong. Everything is terrible. No, it's not terrible. God has blessed your socks off. It's just your perspective is all wrong. That's the problem here. Hallelujah. You could be in Venezuela right now. Trying to find a slice of bread. It's just not limited to Venezuela. Nations trying this nonsense around the world are collapsing. 100% health care for everybody, 100% of the time for everything. Sounds like a good idea until you realize it costs hundreds of trillions of dollars to do it. Nations in Europe trying this. Going bankrupt right now, even as we speak. You better thank God for the nation you have.
Right.
We don't have a perfect system, but we still have a great system. Hallelujah. Number four, the clam. This is the person never reacts, but secretly just holds everything inside. You never know for sure where they stand. Number five, beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. When you hear, run, or try to pull that thing out as fast as you can, hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's the best friend you could possibly have. Just don't do stupid around her. Short, stupid fuse. Yes, amen. Firecracker. Firecracker's having a birthday today. Yeah. Yeah. Let's sing her happy birthday, Hope Harbor style.
Happy birthday to you.
The firecracker.
Happy birthday to you.
Kaboom, kaboom. Yay. Hallelujah. Yeah. And some of y'all are firecrackers out here too.
Amen.
I've been around long enough to know that you is. Yes, amen. Then, of course, there is the green monster.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. That person tends towards envy and jealousy, and it gets them in all kinds of trouble because they're not motivated by the Spirit of God. They're motivated by, you know, what somebody else has relationally or in terms of goods. You know, a Christian doesn't have to be jealous or envious because what God said in His Word, He'll do for you. You never need to be looking at somebody else and saying, well, look how much they've got, or look how great their life is. God's got a great life for you. God's got plans to prosper and give you a future and hope as well. You don't stop it, you know, any other way. But if you'll get into green, that kind of green envy thing, that's what will kill God's dream for your life. Amen. Then there's the know-it-all. Can't tell this person anything. They know it all. Yes, they do. They know how to get on Google. Yes, they do. One of the most challenging ones is the flipper, number 8. The flipper will change their position based on the audience that they're in. So when they're talking to you, they agree with you, but then when they're talking to somebody else, they agree with them. When they talk to the third person, they agree with them. Flippers are just frustrating. But they're out there.
Amen.
Yes, they are. Next is the jellyfish. Jellyfish has no spine, carried by every current, no conviction. How many know it's good to have conviction?
Yes. Yes.
Raise your hand if you believe it's good to have convictions. Yes, it is. Amen. Number 10 is the brick. The brick never seems to hear you, no matter how often you speak. Just completely blockheaded. You want to knock, is anybody in there? But you know there's not. How in the world do you deal with that kind of a person? Next is the Judas. Yes, we all know what that is. Look at somebody and say, I have been the recipient of the Judas kiss. And from time to time, I've been the giver of the Judas kiss. Say it with me, I've been smooched, and I've been the smoocher. Yep. Number 12 is the bitter pill. They harbor bitterness deep down inside till it eats them away and begins to dominate their thinking, their thoughts, their actions, their motivations, and nothing but destruction comes from living in bitterness. Number 13 is the sloth. Unmotivated, lacking vision, lacking any kind of drive. They're just there. How many know if you are a type A personality married to a sloth, you have an interesting marriage. You have an interesting dynamic going on there. Yes, amen. Then there is the con. This is the person that flatters. This is the person that tries to gain an advantage and favor by speech to further a secret or hidden agenda. In the vernacular, we just call that person a butt kisser. And they're out there. And they're even in the body of Christ. Yes. Number 15 is the addict. Somebody is controlled by some stronghold, some addiction. And automatically, just don't go to drugs and substances. There are lots of things that people are controlled by. But can I tell you something about the addict that God has shown me through the years? I've watched this. The addict is so big, the addiction, the habit is so big in that person's life, and it's so pronounced that it blocks out our ability to see all the other good things in that person's life. And it's really a shame. Because all you can see is what this person is doing. You can't see everything else that's on the inside of them. But how many know through the one thing God can give you perspective? You know, you can see what's really there. Number 17, the potty mouth.
16.
Well, that's what I do here. Yep. Oh, why, how could I leave out 16? The drama queen. They live on strife. They live on junk. They live on things being worked up. And oftentimes they're the source of it. Strife, drama, unrest, conflict, they live for it. And I've met a few drama kings in my time as well. Hallelujah. Just like there's a Jezebel, there's a Jezebilly. For every Jezebel, there's a Jezebilly. No offense, Billy. Yes, amen. Number 17, the potty mouth. Never have anything good to say. Constantly talking about people, running other people down. Potty mouth feels good if somebody else can be reduced in their hearing. We as children of God should be building one another up. Yes. Have a better amen than that?
Amen.
If I am talking to my sister about another member of the church, she should have a higher opinion of that person after I talk to her.
That's
godly. And if you can't do that, you should just be quiet. But the potty mouth doesn't operate that way. The potty mouth, you know, if I have something bad to say about Anna, the idea of the potty mouth is I want her to be reduced in her eyes. As a child of God, you should want her to think she hung the moon. That's the way you should operate as a child of God. Potty mouth doesn't do that. And what happens is that thing lingers on, that seed lingers on long after you've gone. See, we need to be more accountable for the things we are saying, because we don't realize the ripple effect and the waves that we create in the perceptions of people towards other people because of things we said. It's hard to unhear those things. One thing will help you in terms of strength, in terms of dealing with this, but once that seed is sown in somebody's hearing, they begin to filter that person through what they actually heard. Look at somebody say, don't reduce others. In the eyes of others, by talking ugly about them. The idea is you want them to have a high esteem. You say, well, what if they're not perfect? Well, that's not between you and them. It's between them and God. Your job is to love. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I did not realize this was difficult, because what I'm saying right now flies completely in the face of modern counseling techniques and secular counseling. Counselor's going to tell you to vent, to talk, to share, to ramble, and continue until you, quote, feel better. That's not Bible.
That's right.
It shouldn't surprise you to hear me say that most so-called Christian counseling is neither Christian or counseling.
Right.
You're not going to help somebody by getting them to violate the principles of pure speech. Let no unwholesome communication come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful to the building of others up. What you will is help them by letting them and teaching them the word and teaching them to apply the word of God in that situation. You have something to say about somebody, say it to God.
That's right.
You know what he's going to do? Maybe that's why we don't go to God about other people. Because somehow he turns the tables on us. Yeah, we'll deal with that person later, but what I really want to talk about is your lousy attitude right now. Mm-hmm. Look at somebody say, don't be a potty mouth. Number 18 is the torch. The torch. This person just loves burning things down, relationships, dreams, organizations, plans, ministries, goals. They get a high out of doing stuff like that, and they're out there. Amen. We're supposed to be building things up, not tearing things down. God is never going to pat you on the back because you destroyed something. Congratulations. We're supposed to build the kingdom, not blow it apart. Amen. Number 19, the flake. This is a person with no roots. They're inconsistent. They're flighty. They're lacking commitment, lacking follow-up, and they're frustrated because you just never know what they're going to do. You never know what God's going to tell them. Lord told me today to do this. And then tomorrow the Lord will tell me this. And then the Lord will tell me something else on the third day. Guess what? The Lord's not the one doing all that talking. That is dealing with a difficult person known as a flake. Are you here? Now, if you're sitting here and you somehow went through all 19 and you went, phew, I doubt that was possible. But if you did, I have a 20th bonus category for you. And you can write this down. It's called The Man in the Mirror. If you haven't already recognized yourself, just look in the mirror and you will see that. Now, honestly, raise your hand if you have any of those tendencies at all. Maybe one, maybe. And if you didn't have any 20, would you come up here? I want to kiss your hand. Yes, I do. Just let me explain this to you. It doesn't matter which of these types you're dealing with. The one thing will help you no matter what you're dealing with. You don't have to sit here and analyze everybody. Well, that's a firecracker. Well, that's a torch. Well, that's a flake. The key is, through the one thing, you're empowered to deal with whatever is worked up through these lives. And the value of the one thing is very, very powerful. I want you to write this down. First of all, it'll help you stay in love no matter what kind of person you're dealing with. It's difficult to deal with a lot of these folks, obviously. But if you're doing the one thing, God is going to keep the love commandment, first place in your heart, up front and center, no matter what they do or say. And it's difficult. It'll help you stay in love no matter who you're dealing with. Number two, it'll help you maintain perspective when you're under pressure. Do you need perspective? Yes, if you're doing the one thing, you're not going to be as prone trying to work yourself up, think through this thing. You're not going to be emotion controlled, emotion ruled in a situation. That's where a lot of the damage comes from. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to stay in love, but you're also going to have perspective when you're under the pressure of that situation. Amen. How many of y'all have to deal with people every day? Raise your hand. Okay. Just want to make sure you still have a pulse. Hallelujah. Number three, to help you see others as God sees them. God's going to help you see that they're work in progress. Yeah. You know, as high-strung as Martha was, Jesus wasn't going to give up on her. And even as diabolical as Judas was, Jesus wasn't going to give up on him. He made his own way. But when he came to betray Jesus with a kiss, what did Jesus say to him? Friend, betrayest thou the Son of God with what? A kiss. Every opportunity to turn his boat around. And when you do the one thing, you're going to see people as God sees them. You're not going to be so quick to give up on them. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, everybody that treats you ugly still has value in the eyes of God. In the eyes of whom?
God.
In the eyes of God. You say, well, not in my eyes. That's because you're not doing the one thing. When you get into the one thing, you pick up on and you begin to do and see things the way He sees them. If you want the eyes of God, do the one thing. And suddenly you'll see people with a different perspective. Number four, you do the one thing, it'll help you stay calm under fire. Amen. The smartest thing you can do when you're having an encounter with a difficult person of any stripe is to go into the one thing. Submit it to Him and let Him show you the reality. How many believe that God still speaks truth?
Yes.
About what? About everything. He will show you. Not so that you can vilify everybody or judge everybody, but so that you can make right decisions and have right responses in the situations. Again, say this with me again. It's not what happens that does all the damage. It's how we react to it. Come on, honestly, raise your hand if you ever reacted poorly and it caused a blow up. It didn't cause it to stand down. Absolutely. Unless you've been living under a rock. Raise your hand and say it. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's my fault.
It's my
Come on, say it. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's my fault.
It's my
now point at your neighbor and say, most of the time,
most
it's your fault.
It's
It's going to help you stay calm. Respond correctly. Number five, it'll help you respond in wisdom. If you'll do the one thing, God will give you wisdom tailored to any kind of difficult person that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a torch, He'll show you how to deal with them. If you're dealing with a clam, He'll show you how to deal with them. If you're dealing with, you know, the jellyfish, He'll show you how to deal with the jellyfish. You know, if you have somebody that is a flipper and they're difficult to deal with, because they don't seem to have any real conviction in terms of their own mind, their own heart, God will show you how to deal with those things. See, if you think of prayer as just, well, God's going to receive some praise and maybe He'll show me something from Scripture and praise the Lord for that, I want you to see that your one thing with God is supposed to be very practical. Something you can use to deal with these end time pressures that are coming from people. Now, let me just get into this a little bit with you this morning. David, the king, dealt with a lot of difficult people. I mean, first of all, he arrives on the scene where there's a battle going on. He's just there to bring some food. But when he gets there, he notices that this pagan, you know, army has got the army of God pinned down. And his brothers are part of that, and he doesn't understand why. Their first inclination is to judge him. You just came to watch the war. You're up to no good. Isn't it amazing how quickly they judged his heart? Yeah. It seems like that there are people of great destiny, some of the people closest to them, the enemy can use to try to stop their destiny and where they're going. But that didn't happen with David. Are you here today? Yeah. David's minding his own business. But he's like, I'll take care of the problem for you.
That's right.
And the king gave him the opportunity, tried to dress him up in his armor. He said, I can't wear these. I just need to go out with what I'm comfortable with, a sling and a stone and the anointing of God. And he barked out at that giant who called him a dog. And he basically said, guess what? I'm going to take you down and take your head off. And you see this little boy running as fast as he can, sling in hand. But not in his power, with the power of God. And he lodges one straight in his forehead and he takes that giant down. He takes out a sword that might have been even longer than he was and whips that head off. And instantly everything changes. That's the power of one man who knows the one thing. How do I know he knows the one thing? Read the Psalms. Psalms are a record of David's one thing. They prove that this guy had an understanding of the one thing that you and I can benefit greatly from. Amen. Glory to God. Are you here?
Yes.
The problem is King Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The what? The green monster. Watch this. Saul didn't get into trouble because of David. Saul got into trouble because of his own bad decisions. And he looked at David as being the reason for all of his trouble. Do you see this?
Yes.
How did David deal with him? When Saul threw spears at David, David could have picked him up out of the wall and threw him right back. And listen to me, David was a much better shot than Saul was. But he didn't do it. Can I help you out here? You and I aren't going around with literal swords and spears, but we do have what? Our mouth. And when somebody throws something at you, you have a choice to make. Be like Saul or be like David. When David had a chance in the cave to take his life and his men were egging him on, take him out, take him out. David went up and snipped off a little corner of his robe and came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because right or wrong, Saul was still anointed and still king at that moment. Wow. Do you see this? Where did he get that kind of honor from? Where did he get the ability to say no to all of his men when he could have taken out the problem right then and there? It was a matter of the one thing. You're not going to get that kind of encouragement from people. Get him, David. Look at all the problems he's caused you. Get him. No. The one thing is going to tell you what's right, and the one thing is going to tell you what is wrong. Do you see this?
Yes.
David, his own men came to him. They were, the Bible says, in discontented. They were in distress. They were in debt. He didn't go recruit them. They came to him. And they said, be our captain, be our leader. He said, okay. And we're running. We're not advancing. We're running from this crazy king and those that followed him. And on one occasion, they're out, and when they get back to a place called Ziklag, they find it burned to the ground and all their family members taken captive, and everything they own is plundered. And the men were so upset, they began to talk of stoning David. That's why you better be careful acting on the praise of people or the criticism of people, because the ones that praise you one moment can turn on you and be the worst critic the next time. You better go to the what? The one thing. David wasn't moved by them when they said, kill this king. And he wasn't moved by them when they talked about killing him. You know what the Bible says he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. How did David handle Ziklag? With the one thing. How are you going to handle the Ziklags in life? The one thing. All these problem situations. Amen. There's a man named Shimei of the court, and he was a counselor. David shows up one day, and this man comes out with rocks to stone David and to curse David. His men say, can't we just take the man out? And he's like, no, maybe he's doing something he's supposed to do. He leaves them. Where does he get that kind of response from? You and I, if somebody comes out throwing rocks at us and cursing, we're saying, take him out. Absolutely. Take him out. Where did he get the self-control? The one thing. Difficult person. We've got people like his brothers who are jealous and insecure. We've got Saul who's jealous and insecure. We've got men that are filled with grief. Things were destroyed and they're upset. You've got people, you know, that should be honorable towards him, like his own son Absalom, who sat at the city gates to steal the hearts of the people away from the rightful king. And when again, David had the opportunity to take him out, he doesn't lift a hand. In fact, he orders his generals to leave him alone, which they disobey. One day, Absalom, after all of his insurrection, all of his rebellion, all of his attack against his own father, he gets caught in the branches by the hair, and one of his military officers thrusts him through, and that's the end of his life. But notice that David never did it. Where do you get that kind of response from? How many know Saul would be definitely a difficult person? How many agree that Absalom is a difficult person? How about Shimei? Is that a difficult person? Yeah, those rocks hurt. But then there's a man named Ahithophel. Try that 15 times. And at the key moment, he aligns with Absalom against his father after serving the court for many years in great wisdom. In fact, he said at one point, give me troops and I'll pursue him myself. How does that happen? You know how it happens? And watch this. This man had a son named Eliam. Are you following?
Yes.
And Eliam had a daughter named Bathsheba. All this time, this grandfather kept a grudge. And one day when the opportunity came to act on that grudge, he did. You know what you do with grudges? You go to the one thing until they're gone. You know what you do? Your bitterness and your jealousy and your pride, you go to the one thing until it's gone. You know what you do? Your potty mouth, you go to the one thing until it's gone. You see any of those tendencies in you, you deal with those. Because I promise you, if you don't deal with the grudge, you don't deal with the bitterness, it's coming out. When I look at David and I see all these difficult people, and many of them wanted him dead. How many difficult people are you dealing with that actually want you dead? Maybe they wanted you out of their family. Maybe they wanted you out of a job. Maybe they wanted something like that. But how many actually wanted you dead? And yet, how does he respond? See, it's easy to look at David's failures, but look past that through the grace of God and see what a remarkable individual he was. The damage he could have done if he didn't practice the one thing. Amen. How many of y'all know some people in that list of 19? Raise your hand up high. Are they difficult? Difficult. But notice we didn't say impossible. Huh? Difficult. Not impossible. How are you going to deal with them? Well, here's what people do. Try to get all the people you can on your side. Yep, that'll work. No, that's not what Scripture says to do. Try to throw the spears back. That's what other people would do. Seems perfectly reasonable. No, that's not what you do. Gear up your potty mouth. That's not what you do. What do? You go into the one thing. Because in doing the one thing, you're going to have the ability to respond properly. To all the difficult people in your life. Amen. Raise your hand if you have some difficult people in your life right now. Huh? Some of y'all are thinking, yeah, I got rid of a few recently, praise the Lord. Do you know that somebody else will show up to take their place? Huh? It's great deception for you to think that if one difficult person exits your life, then you're home free. No. That's why you have to learn this principle. When you're dealing with difficult people, make sure you do not skip on the one thing. You're going to need it. And if you don't, you're going to respond inappropriately. You're going to make things a whole lot worse in your situation. Amen. Let me ask you, what are you? What kind of difficult person are you? Any other firecrackers in here? Look at Pam. Huh? Any other firecrackers? Raise your hand. We're going to have deliverance service right now for you. No, I'm just kidding. Say it with me. The one thing. Say it again. The one thing. Are there difficult people?
Yes.
Yes. If you get rid of one, what's going to happen? You may have another one to take its place. The only thing you can control is your response to it. Get in His presence, stay in His Word, fellowship with Him, praise His name, thank Him, and you'll have the ability and the tools to deal with these people when you come out. See, the only thing it's going to make you deal with things in a spiritual way instead of a natural way like the person you're dealing with. The only thing that's going to separate you is exposing yourself to the mind of God, the heart of God, the presence of God. That's the only thing that's going to change how you respond to it. If not, you'll be bound just like they are. And listen, being a Christian does not mean you're going to respond correctly.
That's right. That's right.
I've asked people from time to time when the way they handled something, everybody say the one thing.
The one thing.
It was obvious they didn't do the one thing. Okay? I mean, you can tell when somebody's not been doing the one thing. When they go to McDonald's and they put a small fry instead of a large fry, and you go across the counter to beat up the person working there, that probably indicates you've not been doing the one thing. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. Somebody messes up your order and you're down their throat over something as insignificant. How many know you probably shouldn't lose your victory over a cheeseburger?
Right.
And just something wrong, you know, when you can be defeated by something so small. Are you here? The difference is when you're in that one thing, in that posture, you're receiving things that will help you deal with things in a spiritual way and not a carnal way. And I've watched this through the years. And I'm not sure what kind of difficult person that is, but y'all remember one time when a brother was up here preaching, you know, I wasn't preaching and a cell phone went off. They were sitting over here and they said, "Turn that thing off!" I think he hadn't been in the one thing, you know. Somebody says, baby's crying, doors slamming, cell phones going off, buckets dropping. Have you heard the sound of one of those metal canisters that people drink from today hitting the concrete floor? How in the world do you focus on what you're doing? You get used to it. Look at somebody and tell them, none of these things move you. But watch this. I watched people dealing with one of these 19 kinds and ones that we could never get into in terms of time, right? I mean, there's a lot more out there than 19. Many flavors of difficult people as they are people in the world. I mean, that's the reality. And I notice when people have blown things up when dealing with these folks, and you ask them, you know, did you talk to the Lord about how you're supposed to handle this? And do you know that 99% of the time they'll look at me as a pastor, say, no, like it's some kind of mystery that a Christian would seek God before trying to deal with a difficult person. And that doesn't mean dealing with difficult people, it's always going to go just perfectly, but it can go perfectly from your perspective because you're just doing what God told you to do. That's all you're responsible for. Well, I talked to one person, you know, you lit a fuse and you got doused it in gasoline and you blew this thing up. Did you pray about it? No. How long have you been saved? 20 years? At what point is this going to kick in? Look at somebody and say, you're going to deal with difficult people. How many are in business and you deal with some difficult people? You have some difficult customers. I mean, I go to business sometimes and I feel sorry for the managers and the owners. Hallelujah. I'm sorry the demoniac visited you today. I apologize for that. Let's go out there and cast the devil out of this person. You're going to run into them. Come on, say it. I will. At some time
this week
run into a difficult person. The key to handling the situation correctly
is me
doing the one thing.
Do
you see how you just took responsibility out of the hands of that person?
Yes.
When you come out of the one thing, you begin to have the wisdom and the temperament and the ideas and the things to say. And how many know you also have the things you shouldn't say? Come on, honestly, have you ever heard the Holy Ghost say, don't say it, 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 don't say it. Don't say it. Oh, you said it. And then you sit back and go, he was right. The Holy Spirit always is. Come on, raise your hand if you ever had him say it. Don't say it. And it was like a fire shut up in your bones. And it came out. And that day you realize the Holy Ghost is a genius. How come we don't learn on this side rather than on the other? Hey, not only does the one thing do all the wonderful things we've talked about, the one thing that help you deal with people that are messing with you and that the devil's using to mess with you. And the key is, every day, you can either respond like a Martha or a Mary. The difference is always going to be that one thing in your life. That's how big this is. Glory to God. It's a big deal. You going to preach anything else in 2019? Right? Almost all the way through March. Hallelujah. When are you going to stop preaching on it? When you do it? You got a hotline to heaven or something, and God's telling you, and like when a certain percentage of the congregation starts doing the one thing, then you're going to switch? Pastor, did he tell me I wasn't doing it? Did he use my name or initials? Well, let's find out. Beep, 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 beep. Turn to somebody and say, do the one thing.
Do the one thing.
Come on, do the one thing. You remember in the 1970s it was Do the Hustle? No, we're not going to do the hustle. We're going to do the one thing. Come on, shout out. Do the one thing.
Do the one thing.
Do the one thing.
Do the one thing.
I am Groot. Do the one thing.
Do the one thing.
Now I'm gonna give you my final point as if Groot would give it to you. Are you ready? I am Groot.
Right.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. I am Groot. What did he just say, Pastor? He said, do the one thing. That's what it was. Come on, shout out. Do the one thing.
Do the one thing.
And you'll deal
correctly
with difficult people.
With difficult
Come on, give him a big hand clap and thank him for it.